The next type of payment for time not marked or time not logged in is that of the casual leave. This type of leave is granted for short durations and can be ordinarily taken with prior information to the employer, except in cases when informing the employer is not possible. Yeah. So what this ideally means is that majority of the times a casual leave can be informed, but sometime it may not be possible. Like, let's say somebody who's stuck in an area where there is no network, yeah, or probably somebody's gone for a holiday but they're stuck there because of flooding or some natural disaster. So as a rule, official holidays are not counted when calculating the number of casual leaves if they fall during the period of the casual leave. So this is again what the human resources professionals have to be mindful, along with the employees of the organization. The next type is known as the sick leave or the medical leave. An employee can call in sick if he or she is not in a state to come to office for work. Like if they are suffering from cold, cough, if they have developed a viral infection. So it's recommended that they don't come into the office, because the other people, if it is contagious in nature, the other employees also might report sick. Yeah, so they are usually entitled to a sick leave only after a stipulated period of employment in an organization. So some organizations, they have probationary measures, so 3 months or a 6 months probation, and only then would they be entitled. So if they report sick before that, they might not be considered and it may be an unpaid leave for them. Another type of leave that is common in India and various parts of the world is the maternity leave, where ladies in any organization are supposed to give birth to a child. So on a humane basis, organizations across the world and in India provide a provision, okay, for the ladies or the women employees who plan to have a baby. So in a certain stage of their pregnancy, before delivery, they are provided with a maternity leave which may extend to a certain period post delivery for taking care of the young infant or the child that is born. The next type of leave, which I had already mentioned, is the study or the sabbatical leave. So an employee may be granted a study or a sabbatical leave to enable them to update with their knowledge and experience in a way that he or she will be of a greater use to the organization after rejoining. Yeah. So just imagine if there is an IGP provision or a prospect that in that internal job posting in the next few years, people would be promoted to the rank of a senior manager from the current position. Now, in order to reach that, they need to have in their toolkit certain operational aspects, certain, you can say, leadership related aspects, certain management related aspects, certain knowledge of how the supply chain works, and so on. So from a managerial context, enhancement in these skills can support or be a reason for eligibility to the next level. And thus, those people who develop these skills can also become something that is vital to the organization's progression. So in this case, a sabbatical or a study leave may be provided to those employees where they will receive either a full salary or a substantial part of their salary, even though they are not logging in any productivity hours related to the organization. Now, another important part of the payment for time not marked is the severance pay. Now, severance basically means is a separation. The Industrial Dispute Act uses the term retrenchment instead of termination. So termination is seen as something which is not correct. It's a sort of a blameful act. So they use this term, which is more sensible and sensitive, that is retrenchment. So there could be several reasons for an employee to move out of the organization. Then these again can be termed as reasons for retrenchment. Now they could be redundancy. Yeah, redundancy means, let's for example say a 3D printer is purchased in a top manufacturing organization and it automates the job or task, and it does the task of 5 workers at the same time at a specific skill level. So is there really a need of those 5 workers? If even 2 operators supervise the work of that 3D printer, it is sufficient. So 3 people become redundant out of the 5, and maybe, you know, either shifted to another department, or they can encounter something known as a retrenchment. Yeah, so they could be severed or separated from the company. It can also relate to non-performance. So let's say there is a person by the name of XYZ who's working in an industrial area, and for several months now has been influenced by some addictions. They may be like chewing paan or tambaku or gutka, or under, you know, having some alcohol. And because of this, their attendance is low. They are also, getting some sort of disease. They are getting infected. And because of this, the actual performance is truly low. Now, every organization wants people who perform well so that collectively they could progress towards their set goals, their mission, vision, correct? In this case, if this non-performance is affecting critical areas, then it is a wise decision to remove the employee from this service, and can then form a reason for retrenchment or the loss of confidence in the worker for various reasons. So if they are indulging into unsafe practices, they are not being able to focus on the job, and they might result in an accident, a hazard for themselves or for the company, then the organization might take a call of creating a severance. Yeah, so they might be getting some sort of a pay for that termination that is going to happen. Now, an employer is required to give at least 1 month's advanced notice or payment in lieu. Okay, so in lieu means in lieu of the termination, because that upcoming month there will be no payment. Yeah, therefore, to a worker who has completed at least 1 year of continuous service before the termination. So these are certain mandates created by the Industries Act and the government, and each organization is binded mandated to complete such a severance pay. The notice must be given in writing indicating the reason of retrenchment. So it should be a fair deal to the employee, and if they are absolutely adding no value, then a severance pay must be provided and they would be retrenched from the organization or severed. Now, the next particular type of supplemented pay benefits are the disability benefits. Now, as we understand, a lot of organizations today have moving parts. They have machines. So on any given day, there could be a sort of a dismemberment or disability. It may happen at the workplace. It may happen while the employees are in a commute from the workplace to office, or any other situation. So government employees with disabilities recommended various benefits like enhanced number of casual leaves. So there may be people who join a job with disabilities, or they may encounter a disability on the job. So for such people, there should be additional benefits like increment in the number of casual leaves, special aids and appliances for facilitating office work. So you might notice some people, they have, a lot of organizations in fact have washrooms. So they have got 3 washrooms now. They've got a washroom dedicated for ladies, a washroom for gentlemen, and you might see a wheelchair. So that wheelchair washroom is an effort to develop equality and give a benefit to the disabled people who operate from a wheelchair. Yeah. So this is just one example of a special aid. There might be bus systems also where they might have ramps. Okay. Government is also coming up with such special aids. Yeah. So these can be observed at our workplaces. There might also be certain higher interest subsidies for automobile loans, correct? So if they aspire to purchase an automobile, correct, maybe a four-wheeler for their own use, for the use of their family, so they might avail of a kind of a subsidy loan. Liberal flexi hours, so if they are not able to conduct themselves because of their physical condition, so there could be some liberal flexi hours for them. So rather than the tedious 10 hours or 12 hours of shift, they can probably avail of a 6 or an 8 hour shift. Higher rate of transport allowance. So at times they may not be able to board a normal bus. So they may be availing a taxi or a cab or a rickshaw maybe. And they may be putting in more money. So they could also avail a higher transport allowance. Better prosthetic aids and proper grievance redressal machinery. So maybe if they have lost an arm or a leg, so maybe there is something better. Currently they are using a prosthetic arm or a leg, but if there is something which can improve their performance, can be a better fit to the body, this can also be used. And of course, if there is any grievance furthermore, that can also be redressed, or it can be addressed in a sort of a policy or an SOP. That is known as grievance redressal machinery. So machinery is nothing but the framework which the human resource department in allegiance with the top management decides, so that those disabled people, okay, they will be able to function properly. This could also happen in the bureaucracies in the government. Now, extra allowance for disabled women employees to take care of a young child till the child attains the age of 2 years is also what is envisioned towards government employees and employees of private firms. Now, there could be also a leave which is known as a special disability leave. Now, this is admissible to all employees. So when disabled by injury intentionally or accidentally inflicted or caused in, or in consequence of the due performance of official duties, or in consequence of official position. So if this is happening at the workplace, any injury, then they have of course the provision for a leave. So just imagine if a blue collared operator loses a finger, isn't it a sort of a trauma? Yeah, they will be in pain. It will be a traumatic physical injury and they need to recuperate. Yeah, they need to recover. So they might either be hospitalized or they may be, ailing from their recuperating from their home. So there is a need for a leave. How would they be working under that condition? So there is a provision for a special disability leave. Under this, the period of the leave will be as certified by an authorized medical attendant, subject to a maximum of 24 months. So let's say, Miss A is working in a printing press. Yeah. So Miss A is a competent worker in a printing press. And unfortunately, on one of the days, her finger gets stuck in the roller. And luckily for her, there is help at hand. And she loses the forefinger of her right hand. Now, isn't this something which is undesirable and painful? So she's taken to a doctor. Okay. So this is luckily a residential area and there's a doctor, a physician close by. And the doctor looks at the finger and says, okay, you need some surgery, and you would need to at least rest for a minimum of 20 to 25 days. in order to recuperate, and then you could join. So that authorized medical attendant, okay, oversees and provides a certificate that this particular lady has a disability and would not be able to conduct her regular duties for at least a good month, yeah, 20 to 25 days or a month. So this is what it basically states, and I've just given you an actual example. There are a few more aspects related to the special disability leave. It may be granted more than once if the disability gets aggravated. Now, what does this mean? Let's go back to Miss A, and you know, a month later, the finger which has been severed is still not functioning properly. They have not been able to do a good job with the surgery, and it's aggravated. So there is a swelling which happens because of this, and on a psychological level, the lady is terrified or scared, correct? So in this particular context, the leave, okay, of one of the disabilities should not exceed 24 months. Or if there's a recurrence, okay, in similar conditions or circumstances at a later date. Like, let's say the same lady meets up with another close accident of a similar nature after 10 months. So in this case, that maximum leave should not exceed 24 months. This is what is stated as a part of the disability leave. It may be combined with any other kind of leave. So there is also special provision of accumulating or combining it with another type of a leave. It will count as a service for pension, yeah, and it will not be debited to the leave account. So these are some special provisions which have been provided to be compassionate or to empathize with people who meet unfortunate accidents at the workplace. The next is ad hoc allowance of quarter to handicapped employees, which again comes up as a benefit related to disability. Now, ad hoc means, you know, it's not planned. Okay, it happens in an ad hoc fashion or a manner. So ad hoc allotment of quarter to handicapped employees may be considered in following cases. The blind, that is those who suffer from either total absence of sight or visual acuity not exceeding 6x90 or 20x200 in better eye with correcting lens. So these people, they have a sort of a complete blindness or a partial blindness, which may include either this factor or impression of the field of vision subtending an angle. So there is a sort of an improper vision. Now, these two points, to make them very simple, what I could do is I could say that this is certain impairment in the vision which may not have a good depth perception. So if I am speaking to you in the form I'm speaking out towards a camera, you're viewing me, I may not, if I have that visual acuity or impairment, I may not be able to have a depth perception. My movement may be impacted, and if there are moving parts and I'm an operator or a laborer, this may impair or reduce my ability to work efficiently. If I'm an IT worker, I may need some special equipment to work on a desktop or a laptop in this case as well. So hence there is some ad hoc allotment provided. Again, under this heading, we also consider the deaf. So having hearing loss of more than 90 decibels in the better ear or total loss in both ears. So there are some industries which have a lot of noise, because of which the hearing potential of employees goes down. Yeah, so they tend to become disabled due to deafness. So the orthopedically handicapped to the extent 40% and above, so these people are also liable to a disability benefit, and mentally handicapped or spastic dependents. So if they have these dependents at home, they are also liable to an ad hoc allotment of a quarter. Now let's look at what are some of the series of reservations for persons with disabilities. Now, as you can, as you can think or visualize, these are not people who can compete with able-bodied people, yeah, of the same age bracket maybe, or the same cadre. So they need to be compassionately provided with some sort of reservations. Now, what are the categories that qualify for this or may be eligible? So one may be people with blindness or low vision. So maybe in the welding trade or some trade where they are subjected to harsh lights and they tend to go blind, or they tend to suffer from a vision impairment. They may be qualified for this. Again, people with hearing impairment, locomotor disability or cerebral palsy. So these are some particular aspects where our movement, the locomotion, may face a disability. So there is a difficulty in moving from location to location in a physical factory. Or, you know, you have a cerebral aspect. So, you know, your balance, your spatial abilities, your ability to, you know, interpret depth, all this can be affected if a part of your brain, the cerebellum, can suffer. So these are some diseases on a physical level where your perception of depth, your perception of movement, your perception of balance, all these can get affected, and they can be, they can fall under reservations. So this reservation is admissible only for those who suffer from not less than 40% of relevant disability. Yeah? So they should, it's like, okay, you know, if my finger is slightly, you know, quivering or moving, and this happens involuntary. So in this case, I may not be eligible for a reservation. So it should be at least not less than 40%. So 40% and more as seen as a disability. For example, somebody stumbles, needs, you need some balance mechanism, or you need a wheelchair. In that case, it may exceed 40% and may be a subject for a reservation. Percentage of reservation, so total 3%, that is 1% for each of the three categories can be identified. Identification of posts, so in a government organization, more than 1,000 jobs have been identified for appointment of the last three categories that were seen earlier. Now here we look at the next one, which is the transport allowance for these disabilities. So these are the transport allowances that are provided for people suffering from such sort of disabilities that were seen. So in this case, handicapped candidates recruited on regional basis may be given posting near their native village as far as possible, subject to administrative constraints. So again, a sense of compassion is being demonstrated so that they don't have to travel far distances, or they don't have to relocate to undesirable locations. Requests for transfer or near to their native places may also be given preference in case of physically handicapped employees. So for example, let's say there are three employees who request for a relocation close to their native place. There's a new office being opened over there. Now in these, there are two able-bodied employees. That means there's no physical handicap. Like you and I, we are able-bodied. And there is another person who is suffering probably from, let's say, partial blindness. Yeah, their movement is restricted. So who do you think will get the preference? Of course, the preference will be given to that physically handicapped employee, correct? So this is what has been envisioned and has been mandated. Now, the transport allowance may not, okay, so there are certain regulations or conditions. Under this, it's not admissible to employees who have been provided with facility of government transport. So of course, why would the, you know, government or a semi-government agency pay exclusively if they have already provided a transport? So let's say for four disabled employees, the government has, you know, arranged for a small car They've got a small car in which the driver ferries those people from their home to the office. In this case, why would the government put another allowance, correct? So this would be redundant. Employee during absence from duty for a full calendar month due to leave, training, tour, etc. Correct? So if the person does not commute to the office, so why would they be provided an allowance? Yes. So if the absence covers more than 1 month, it will not be admissible for calendar months wholly covered. Huh? So then it goes under a different jurisdiction. Now, special allowance for child care for women with disabilities and education allowance for disabled children of government employees, we will discuss. So point A covers women with disabilities will be paid ₹1,000 per month as special allowance for child care. So over and above their salary, they're going to get this sort of an allowance or a benefit. It shall be payable for a maximum of 2 children. Yeah, so the employees have to be mindful that it will only be payable for 2 children and no more. Now we look at another topic. We have moved from the previous topic to the topic of the healthcare benefits, and we will be more specific to discuss those that are given in our own country, that is India. So as the healthcare reform continues to evolve, now what does this mean? This means that the healthcare is improving across industries, government and non-government, yeah, and they are in a state of evolution. They are in a state of betterment. Okay, so as healthcare reform continues to evolve and affect individual lives and of course their finances, group health coverage through an employer becomes an increasingly valuable perk. So this is what is important. It acts like some sort of a relief that, let's say, if I work in an organization, I am covered. So my hospitalization, if anything happens, is covered. Yeah. And having a sizable portion of medical costs paid through an employer's benefit package can be quite a comfort, correct? So it's a mental comfort, stating that yes, I am safe, and in any untoward incident, I will continue and I don't have to dig deep into my pockets. So here are key employee benefits of the employer-sponsored health coverage and why you should be offering it. So first is, it can reduce absenteeism, and the more physically sound workers are less prone, so they are to injuries and less likely to miss the work days. So this is one important reason, okay, which comes about as a benefit or a powerful benefit to the employers. The next one is, it can be considered as a vital recruitment tool. So it can form the basis for attracting new employees or prospective employees to the organization. So let's consider this particular case, very interesting. So if a potential employee, like let's say employee A is deciding between 2 jobs, or if a current employee is thinking of leaving, benefits like superior health insurance can tip the balance. So employee A, prospective employee, is looking at company B and C. Now everything being equal, if company C is offering superior health benefits in the form of healthcare, like health insurance and other aspects, then they might prefer to start work with employer C or company C, correct? So this is, again, what I would like to mention is, it can be a recruiting tool in the correct hands. It can also increase retention. So it may lead to a lower turnover or attrition for the organization and benefit the organization greatly. So employees are more likely to stay with the same company that offers valuable insurance benefits, as there can be far more costly to replace on an individual basis. So this is very, very important. Okay, so a monthly healthcare investment, okay, would be much more effective than what the employee would have to shell out on their own if there is no such provision which exists with their current employer. So an important healthcare benefit that we shall discuss is the health insurance. So health insurance policies are designed to cover your medical expenses and give you the freedom to avail of quality healthcare depending upon the insurance that has been purchased. Thus, the policyholders can access medical treatment of the covered perils without any hassle. So what do we mean by this? We mean that if the government organization or the private organization has covered you under this particular health insurance, then there would be absolutely no problem. If there is a health issue, it could be covered under this sort of insurance without the employee having to pay from their pockets. Now, there are broadly three types of health insurance in India. So in this slide, we are going to enlist them, and in the subsequent slides, we are looking at them in detail. The first one is related to the hospitalization related plans. So what happens if there is an incident where the employee has to be hospitalized? So we'll be looking at this in detail in the upcoming discussions. Hospital daily cash benefit plans is also something which needs discussion. And of course, critical illness plans. So if an employee is detected with some critical illness, like let's say cancer or some other grave illness, so what are those plans we will be seeing? So as discussed in the previous slide, we will spend some more time discussing these particular plans in detail. The very first one is related to hospitalization plans, which is covered under the health insurance scheme as a benefit to the employees. Now, hospitalization plans basically act in reimbursing the hospitalization and the medical costs of the insured subject to the sum that has been insured. Now, what do we mean by this? So the employee has to initially pay and they will get a reimbursement. So let's say a person who's working in a company, okay, he is hospitalized, so he contracts COVID and has to be hospitalized and he recovers. So he has paid something in the tune of 70,000 rupees for 4 days of a hospital stay. Okay, now this is just a hypothetical example, okay, and he has also had to spend some 35,000 in medicine. So the total outlay has been 1,05,000, the total expenditure. Now, if he is insured to the tune of over 5 lakhs, the entire amount can be subject to a reimbursement, correct? Now, the next one is the hospital daily cash benefits plan. So this particular plan is a defined benefit policy, as the evidence, okay, from the name. So as it's evident from the name, the policy pays out a defined sum of money for every day of hospitalization, regardless of actual costs. So they don't want to have or get a reimbursement done at a later stage. This covers the hospitalization costs on a daily basis. And of course, the last one, which was enlisted in a previous slide, was the critical illness plans. So these are benefit-based health insurance plans which pay a lump sum amount on the diagnosis of predefined critical illnesses and medical procedures. So there is a long list of critical illnesses under this, and if an employee has been diagnosed under some of these particular shortlisted illnesses, so there will be an outlay of money under the health insurance scheme which will go towards mitigating and meeting the expenses that would happen because of this illness that the employee encounters. Now we look at the concept of accident insurance under the scheme of healthcare benefits. So a personal accident plan protects the person from medical bills and loss of income that arise from that accident. Yeah. So this is under the garb that most accidents cause injuries that result in short or long-term disablement or disabilities and treatment. So let's suppose a crane operator is hit by some object from above and it causes, you know, a disability. So this will be then covered under the accident insurance. So this sort of an insurance works to help provide financial protection to the employees. Now just imagine a head injury which is caused to that crane operator. Okay, so he will be non-functional for at least a good month. So this particular plan can provide him with the medical support. Also, if he is going to miss out on that particular, you know, month, this will help him. So they provide a much needed level of financial protection to the employees. So in an accident scenario, there would be certain aspects under the insurance policy provided by the employer that can include benefits for the employee. Now, what are those? Now, under the head of injuries, as we know, if there's an accident, it may relate to injuries. These may be of a fracture to the bones, a dislocation of certain, you know, arms or hands, concussions. Concussions may be like, you know, you might just not be in a position to stand straight. You might just, you know, get disoriented. Lacerations like cuts, eye injuries, torn knee cartilage. So the cartilage of the knee area may be torn, ruptured discs, second and third degree burns. So depending upon the nature of injury, these can be catered to by the accident insurance. Of course, in the case of an accident, what else is required? Medical assistance. Huh? So medical services and treatment aspects like the presence of an ambulance, emergency care, certain therapy which is required for recuperation, medical testing, including things like taking out of an X-ray or an MRI machine or a CT scan, medical appliances, and certain types of surgeries. So all this may be required to get the employee, you know, in a proper manner, so to help them. Thank you.